This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Now from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Great to be back in the Stifel Financial Sports Studio. And this program, Sports on a Sunday Morning, sponsored by Graybar. Great to be with you on a lovely day in St. Louis. And a game day in St. Louis. We have the Cardinals on KMOX from Washington, D.C. at 12:35. We'll be off the air here on this show at 11:35 to get you to that. John Mozeliak just before that at 11:25. Certainly a lot of questions for him and for Ollie Marmol, the Cardinals manager, at 10:15. In between there, we have a lot of soccer here on this show because there's a soccer game tonight. City plays at Colorado. They take on the Rapids. That one starts at 8:30 on Y98FM, pregame at 8 o'clock. And we'll hear Jen Cease's interview with not only Chris Durkin, and Santiago Beltran is also involved in that interview, but we have Ty Keogh joining us on the show, and Lutz Vandensteel, sporting director, St. Louis City SC, will be with us at 11:15 for his live slot. So we have a lot going on. Bradley Carnell was fired on Monday, and the interim coach, John Hackworth, will join us tomorrow morning on KMOX. He'll be in our usual slot from here on out at 8:45 on Monday. So lots of soccer, lots of baseball, as you can imagine. And we will bring it all to you here on KMOX. That's not all, though, of course. There's a lot of sports going on, but we're concentrating on baseball and soccer today, Drew. Okay. Drew Young is our producer today. Always does a fine job. Yesterday, though, I thought the biggest news of the day was actually what Mizzou football did. They landed a very, very good recruit in Lamont Rogers. Anytime you can steal a four-star offensive tackle away from Texas, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma, it's a good day. Two of those schools are in the SEC, and now three. So one of them you're not going to be playing for a little bit, Texas. But Oklahoma, Texas A&M, this is a big, big get for the University of Missouri to take a player like that away from those schools. Lamont Rogers, 6'8", 320 pounds. Big boy out of Mesquite, Texas, is going to join what is a very good class. So it's going to be fun to see what Mizzou looks like, I think, in the coming years. You know, they have to really crank it up here because these teams are joining the SEC, and it's going to get tougher and tougher to recruit. But Mizzou got ahead of the game on NIL, and they've got some money to offer, some opportunities to offer. They have an AD in Laird Veach who's turning it on there and have a stadium that's going to look really nice and an SEC atmosphere and a fan base that's hungry. I think it's very promising for this area to have Mizzou football and Illinois football good. I think Illinois has a chance to be good. I know Mizzou's going to be good. I think their schedule is very favorable to them, and I think they are going to be the story of 2024 unless the Cardinals win this division. Now, the St. Louis Cardinals got smoked last night, or yesterday afternoon. But don't let that cloud everything for you. It's one game in what has been a very good stretch for them, and Lance Lynn got blown up. Trade deadline's coming. Team saved their bullpen last night, thank goodness, in Liberatore and Gallegos, covering the last five and a third. So Lynn got blown up, yes. Hope that he doesn't do it again. concentrate on what they might be able to do at the deadline. We'll talk to Mo about it, and we'll talk to Ollie Marmol here in about 5 minutes about his club. But the Cardinals have an opportunity to win this division. The Brewers are going to fall back to earth eventually, you think. I mean, I don't know how they're doing this. They're like the 2015 Cardinals who won 100 games with injuries and things happening to them. The Brewers just keep on going, but eventually they're going to fall back to earth, I think. They've lost three in a row. Cardinals are five back, very doable as we sit here on July 7th. Long, long way to go for the Brewers and Cardinals. Not sure about the rest of the division, but don't count out the Reds and Pirates necessarily. I think the Cubs are falling out of this thing completely. The Cardinals have the third wild card, but that's not what they want. They want this division. They're five out. They can do that. But they've got to stack some wins together and figure out a way to add at the deadline. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk to Ollie Marmol, Cardinals manager, live from Washington, D.C. 10:30, Chris Durkin. 10:45, Ty Keogh. 11:15, Lutz Vanensteel. 11:25, John Mozeliak, who kindly agreed to join us 5 minutes early so we can squeeze more information out of him in the last 10 minutes of the show. He's always great to join us. He will do that live at Sports on a Sunday Morning, sponsored by Graybar. Great to be back with you. I was in Italy, by the way, for just about 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks. It was good. Followed some soccer out there. Watched Euro 2024 with a bunch of Italian fans. They had a draw and a loss, so I wasn't much help there. But I did eat some great food, drank some wine, hung out with my lovely wife and great kids and another great family, and we had a blast. But it's good to be home, I got to tell you. Good to be covering sports. I followed the Cardinals all the way. I was watching everything. Here we go. It's time. Ollie Marmol next. Sports on a Sunday morning. Tom Ackerman back with you. It is always a pleasure to visit with our great friend to the show, the manager of the Cardinals, Ollie Marmol. Thank you for joining us from Washington, D.C. on a game day. These are always much appreciated visits. How are you?
I'm doing well. You had about a two-week break, huh?
I did. I was paying attention to your team, though. I was watching
yeah,
it.
Sure.
I was, I promise. But yeah, I could not watch games in full because I was in Italy. So if you had, let's say, a 6:45 game, it was at 1:45 a.m. Those are tough, especially if you've had a couple, you know, glasses of wine.
Hey, if you're diehard, you'd stay up.
I know, I know. But I went back. I would watch highlights. I would read. I would listen to your press conferences. So I was in tune with what was going on and following along daily. And congratulations on a great run. I mean, really. I mean, I think it's been a really good run for you to get yourself back firmly in contention.
No, I couldn't agree more, man. Watching these guys do what they're doing every day has been impressive. It's been fun. You dig yourself a hole as big as we did early on in the season. It takes a lot physically and emotionally as a player to dig yourself out of that and get back on track the way we have. And they're grinding it out, man. We have several more games before that All-Star break, but these guys are, even yesterday's game, Lance goes out there, it doesn't go our way. They score 9. And I can tell you that our dugout was as lively as it's ever been. You would have thought we were up 9. And the way they were competing and just getting after and still just grinding out at bats, it was gritty, man. And I loved it. Unfortunately, we lost. But it's just those are signs of a team that's competing well, that doesn't care if they're up or down. It's just a matter of this very next pitch. And they're doing a really nice job of that.
It's absolutely nuts that you were one swing of the bat away from making it a 9-8 game after you were down 9-0. I mean, it was right there. I mean, and we know Nolan Gorman. I mean, he can do that. Of course, he's still working through some stuff, but you were that close. And then you mentioned the bullpen. I mean, the bullpen coming through for you, it was a big deal, wasn't it? I mean, Giovanni Gallegos goes 3 innings, Ollie, to close that out.
And let's talk about that, because this is a guy that, I mean, man, he's pitched a lot, and he's pitched some meaningful innings for us over the last several years, and he's gone through a stretch where it hasn't gone his way. It hasn't looked the same. He went on the IL for a little bit, came back, and hopefully his outings start to look better. But what he did yesterday was extremely important. You look at the state of our bullpen, man, we were super short. We didn't have Helsley, JoJo, Kittredge. I mean, we didn't have any of those guys yesterday. And for him to go back out there for a third inning, which is something we haven't asked him to do probably since 2017, where he hasn't done that, kept Fernandez or King from coming in that game, and whichever one of those two would have thrown yesterday would have been down today just based on their usage. So that was an important part of that game for sure.
Gio is my daughter's favorite pitcher, so she was pretty happy to see him, you know, powering through there. And the outing for Lance Lynn, I mean, do I have this right from what I could see, is they just pounced? I mean, they knew he's going to throw early fastballs, and they just went out ripping.
Yeah, and then some two strike pitches that didn't go his way, and kind of some arm side misses with that fastball, and couldn't get it where he wanted to at times. But yeah, yesterday they took good swings, they beat him. This is a guy that is going to hold himself accountable more than anybody. So you just move on. It was a bad day. We just go on to the next.
Kyle Gibson pitching today. How's he look to you?
Good. He's been so consistent, man. I know he had that lower back that kind of pushed his start, and then he was a little out of sync his first time out after that. But this is a guy that's been very consistent and giving us six innings every time out and just allowing us to line up the bullpen the way needed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But yes, he's done an incredible job for us.
You'll be taking on the Nationals today at 12:35. We'll have the pregame at 11:40. Ollie, this team right now with a lineup, and I love talking about lineups with you. And I looked at it; it seems like you've had some pretty consistent lineups. I mean, with Contreras in there at the three spot, but Wynn and Burleson have been 1-2 for a while now. Goldie and Arenado 4-5. Can you just go through what you like about that consistent lineup? Why you do it the way you do it?
Yeah, Wynn's done a really nice job of just competing in that leadoff spot. I like the style of at bat that he takes. Doesn't matter righty lefty. He's just going to give you a very competitive at bat. Burleson has been extremely consistent and just finds barrels. Man, you have to face those two guys. Those are two very gritty at bats to start a game. Now having Contreras back allows him to hit in that three spot. Goldie after that with Nato against the lefty. And it's been fairly consistent with lining those guys up. We'll continue to get a feel for how they're feeling and if a guy needs a day off or anything like that. But for the most part, we've been trying to run the same lineup out there and give them consistency of where they're playing defensively and offensively, where they're hitting the lineup, and just trusting our guys to do their jobs.
When it comes to Goldie and Arenado, I know they get a lot of attention for not having their normal numbers, but this season isn't over yet. So, I mean, how do you evaluate that? You got two superstars there back-to-back.
Goldie and Arenado at some point this year will carry this club offensively. And when they do, it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun.
Well, that's a quote that I'll tuck away. And when they start to turn on, we'll put that back. We'll replay that back. The Nationals have an interesting looking team, no doubt. And you're going to play another game against them tomorrow. Your team, when it comes to this, I mean, these tight games are fun for the viewer, I guess. They're entertaining. But, man, it's got to be stress. I mean, I know that you'd love to just smoke somebody, blow somebody out here once in a while. But how do you see this now? I've not seen a Cardinals team like this where you've played one-run games this many times and extra inning games, for that matter.
No, I've never seen anything like it. It's I'll tell you what, it is fun because there's a lot that goes into it. And the guys are, it's becoming the norm of playing these tight games. Can you hold a one-run lead after the fourth inning? You know, like, it's just, we've been able to do that often, and it simulates kind of playoff baseball, man, the intensity of it, where one pitch can change everything. One at bat can change everything. And I love being in those environments. Don't get me wrong. I love to beat somebody's brains in a couple times a week just to give our bullpen a break. That's been the key to this thing is we're going to have to open up some games to allow the back end of our bullpen to have a little bit of a breather and not have to throw every day to every other day in order for them to continue to stay fresh and effective throughout the back end of the season. So it is important for us to be able to do that here in this next stretch. But if not, we'll keep playing some tight ones and hopefully continue to win them.
You have had a very good run for this bullpen. I mean, just absolutely tremendous. And now Ryan Helsley, who has put together a spectacular year, no doubt is going to be an all-star. We're going to hear that announcement here tonight, right? Yeah, tonight is the all-star announcement. Are you... have you been publicly advocating for anybody behind the scenes advocating? Are you pushing names out there that want to be all-stars? How much does that mean to you?
No, obviously you want certain guys that have done an incredible job of helping this club win, get that experience. Helsley has done an incredible job. You look at Sonny Gray, he's done a really nice job. The back end of our bullpen, man, has been really, really steady and good. So we'll see what happens tonight, but, hopefully some of those guys get to go.
What about health-wise? I'm going to also have John Mozeliak on next hour, about an hour from now, so he'll give us an update as well. But tell me the one I'm really interested in is Lars Nootbaar. I'm interested in all of them, but I know Nootbaar has an interesting kind of situation here where there's a couple days off at AA, right?
Yeah, so I'm actually jumping on a call with him here shortly. He played last night. Came out of it feeling good. They have an off day there today and tomorrow. So I'll get a better sense for how he's feeling and what else he needs in order to feel like he's ready to compete, and then we'll go from there.
All right. Well, I appreciate the updates. Thank you for your 10 minutes. It's always great to have you on KMOX. Good to talk to you again, and good luck today against the Nationals. We'll catch up with you real soon.
Appreciate it, man. Take care.
Manager of the Cardinals, Ollie Marmol with us. Busy man as the Cardinals get ready to play a game in 2 hours. Taking on the Nats in Washington, D.C. Then they will play one more tomorrow. So this is a four-game series, a Friday to Monday series. It's a day game tomorrow, by the way. So plan your Monday accordingly. Don't skip out on a 3:05 game for the Cardinals and the Nationals. We'll have the pregame at 2:10. So if you can sneak out of the office or something and give your Cardinals a listen, that would probably be a good idea. Then the Cardinals go home. They will be here taking on the Royals for two. Then a day off on Thursday before they play the Cubs at Busch Stadium Friday, Saturday, and Sunday going into the All-Star break. The All-Star game is in Arlington, Texas this year, the home of the world champion Texas Rangers. And the Cardinals most likely are going to have Ryan Helsley. And I'm not really sure outside of that who they'll get, but Helsley is a heck of a representative. And if you talk about why the Cardinals are where they are, he's the headliner. You know, the bullpen has been tremendous, and he is the biggest name in that bullpen with 31 saves, just a streak of 31 saves, which is just insane. For the Cardinals closer. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to shift the attention to soccer. We'll hear from Chris Durkin, who I have really been impressed with, a defensive midfielder for the city team, a conversation with Gen C Santiago Beltran. We're also going to hear from Ty Keough, a St. Louis soccer legend who has been around the game for a long, long time. His thoughts not only on City, but on Copa America, on a lot of things happening around the world of soccer. And then at 11:15, more soccer discussion with Lutz Vandensteel, the sporting director for St. Louis City SC. My first opportunity to chat with him since I came back from Europe. And I will talk to him about the move in dismissing Bradley Carnell, promoting John Hackworth, and what he thinks about this team. And they made a move, by the way. Jordan Reed has joined them officially via contract from City 2. So all of that is on the way. And then at 11:25, again, John Mozeliak will join us live just before we turn things over to Cardinal Baseball. It's great to be back in Studio B, the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, back after this.
Jennifer Cease and Santiago Beltran here with Chris Durkin, St. Louis City midfielder, defender. You do it all.
Yeah, I pride myself on being flexible and doing whatever I can for the team. So I hadn't played at center back in a while, but I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Coach Hackworth at the press conference afterwards, it just reminds me how big soccer is, but actually how small it is. He knew you could do the job because he coached you, U17. Somehow there's always a soccer connection.
Yeah, it seems like there's a big spider web around Hack Circle. He knows everybody somehow. He's a great guy, and luckily to have known him for so long. So it was great to have him step in.
And obviously you have been around him this year with his role with the team, but now reunited with him as a coach, is it good for you to have as a new coach somebody that you know so well?
Yeah, I heard other guys talking after the game. If anybody was a step in for the job, he was the right man. Everybody was very familiar with him on the team. Some guys very close with him, so I think he was a good man for the job. Just being familiar with the situation, being in the organization, not having to change too much for the San Jose game, I think was important.
You and I talked back in February when you had just come to the club, and we were talking about your role as a holding midfielder, and there was a comment you made that stuck out to me, and you said, if I'm doing my job, you're really not noticing me on the field. Yeah. Is that still how you feel about it wherever you're on the pitch?
Yeah, I've talked about it a little bit, putting out fires around the midfield, just being reliable. As a six, you have a lot of different attributes that can help at coming back to center back or maybe going forward a little bit. And, with our team, it's an aggressive style of play. And, I always enjoy just being amongst the tackles and bringing energy, which, it's not hard when we have energy within the crowd. So I've really enjoyed my role within the team. The guys are continually pushing me and, I want to keep pushing the guys. So it's a good mutual benefit.
So Wednesday, the team broke that winless streak. What has been the mindset the last few weeks with that, let's say, like monkey on your back that you have to win a game?
Yeah, it's been tough. Going through any slump is difficult, in our profession. We felt the pressure, which is good. And, we were working really hard to change things. And, we weren't very far off. We were creating a lot of opportunities. Even in the San Jose game, created a ton of opportunities, only put two away. So as long as we can keep finding those positions, keep finding good goal scoring chances, I think we're always in a game, always get the 3 points. And now it's just about those critical moments Hack talked about a little bit, making that block, making that last ditch tackle. Those were maybe missing at times. We found those in the San Jose game, and we want to continue those forward.
You're a homegrown player yourself. You've worked your way up through a system. What do you think of the City 2 guys working their way up, whether they've appeared or they've signed new contracts like Johnny Klein, Michael Wenzel? What do you think about their performance and any words of advice you've ever had to share with new players coming up?
Yeah, I'm really excited for them. I spoke about it a little before. It's good to have their energy come in, the mentality of wanting to prove yourself. That's the mentality that we need to take, all of us players, whether you're veterans, seasoned pro, everybody has to be able to prove themselves on the field right now in this moment. We'll have to work hard together to get out of it, because you can find these routines and get into the slump where it just feels like you're going to keep losing. It's up to the group to get out of that. It requires a lot of focus and attention. The young guys have come up and done great, taking their chances well. Kleiny, Jay's done really well. Wenzel stepped in and done really well. So really happy for those guys. And, with hard work and keeping your head down within our system, anything is possible.
So now going to Colorado on Sunday, an opponent that was here at City Park a couple of weeks ago, got the 3 points, a game that had a few mistakes by you guys that resulted on goals, and a lot of things happened in that game. What's the mindset now going back to Colorado just a couple of weeks after playing them?
It was, looking back on it, a frustrating game. Talking about the mistakes and easy goals, especially at City Park, you never want to feel like you're just giving up easy goals, because it's so hard to score in our sport. So yeah, I think going to Colorado with altitude, we're going to need to manage that, be smart, but we're all excited. I think it's great to have a lot of games all at once. Everybody's dealing with that tiredness, tired legs. Colorado just played yesterday, so I'm really looking forward to it. I know the guys are, hopefully to continue to carry the momentum from last game, keep preaching those critical moments, staying focused for 90 plus minutes. And yeah, I think it's possible to get 3 points in Colorado, 100%. We have the quality always on the field.
KMOX Soccer Showcase, you were in Arnold at the Hot Shots there. Did you enjoy connecting with the fans? And I learned in there, your wife's a soccer player, not only your fan, but she can analyze your game.
Well, the event was awesome, just to have City fans come out and talk to them, answer questions, sign autographs. The support since I've been here, said numerous times, has been incredible. So really lucky to be a part of this fan base. And just, yeah, my wife being a soccer player, she's a critic, but she's also a big, good supporter. So we've trained a lot of times together to help each other out, which has been cool. But normally in the household, we stay away from soccer because so much soccer in our life.
You're both too competitive.
Yeah.
Who does she play for, by the way?
She played in Germany at a team in Duisburg, right near Dusseldorf, a Bundesliga team. So she played there. She's figuring it all out now. She's a winger, so she's got the creative side. So I try and learn a little bit from her, too.
Wow, Durkin's wife plays in Bundesliga? How about that? That's pretty cool. Thanks to Jen Cease and Santiago Beltran for a great interview. Durkin is fast becoming my favorite player on this team. I love the way he plays aggressively, plays physically, and he's very talented. Talented enough that he can play midfield, play center back. He can do it. So that's good. We'll see what happens tonight. I think it should be fun tonight. City visits Colorado, big challenge for them. And if you can go in there and steal a win, that's a great, great thing for this club and interim coach John Hackworth, if they can win back-to-back games. I mean, I'm not trying to take away from beating San Jose, but San Jose is not all that good. And they got the job done, as they should have. Now they play this Colorado team that embarrassed them, quite honestly, 3-0 at City Park a few weeks ago. Jaden Reed has been officially signed with City from City 2. He is a defender. A first-team contract through the end of this season. Club options in 25 and 26. He's made a couple of starts, first-team starts for the senior team this season as a City 2 player. Made his debut June 22nd against Atlanta United. Started and played the full 90. Made his second MLS start against San Jose and played the full 90. He's a former member of the Red Bulls Academy and was signed as the 29th Red Bulls homegrown on December 21st, 2022. Joined City 2, started 13 matches, tallied 2 assists as a left back. So Jaden Reed, who John Hackworth in his last press conference actually said he told Lutz that he wanted to sign him. Then he looked over and said, am I supposed to say that? He goes, anyway. He was explaining how he's both technical director and coach at the same time. And kind of spilled the beans a little bit. But anyway, they signed Reed. They got him. And we'll see how they go tonight at 8:30 on Y98 FM. Also, what's happening in soccer right now is that England is going to play the Netherlands and France is going to play Spain. And Spain's going to win the Euro 2024. But there could be a block in front of them if possible. But that's kind of where they are, in my opinion. And no, I'm not an expert, but I have watched more Euro than I ever have, having been in Italy. I watched both their last matches, the 1-1 draw against Croatia, which they scored in the final moments, and then a very disappointing shutout loss to Switzerland. Switzerland lost yesterday to England in a penalty shootout. England wins that 5-3 after a 1-1 draw in extra time. They advanced the semifinals of the Euro 2024. England converted all of its first four penalties before Trent Alexander-Arnold won the game with the fifth. England lost the 2020 final to Italy in a penalty shootout, so they're trying to get back to the final and win it this time. They will play the Netherlands. Netherlands beat Turkey. And so this next one will be in Dortmund. It'll be Wednesday for a spot in the final against either Spain or France. To me, Spain or Germany were the two teams. Whoever was going to come out of that was going to win it all. And I think Spain will win it all, but maybe I'll be wrong. I don't know. Uruguay advanced to the Copa America semifinals with a 4-2 victory over Brazil on penalty kicks after the teams played to a scoreless draw. The teams combined for a tournament-high 41 fouls and just 4 shots on goal during a bruising, choppy match with little of the impressive soccer for which both South American powerhouses are known, but they do come away with a 4-2 victory, Uruguay does, over Brazil. More soccer discussion, that and more, with Ty Keogh next. Jeff says, Ack, you got to come back to Evansville, have some Leroy's Pizza. I will absolutely do that, Jeff. Leroy's Tavern in Evansville is the spot. In fact, I am going to send a something Camo X to them. And I think they know that. I think the word has gotten to them. But they are, if you live in Evansville, go to Leroy's Tavern. They have an entire wall of Cardinals memorabilia. They also have a number of other teams, and it is a great sports bar. It's like one of those old school sports bars that you remember where you walk in, you get a beer. I got myself a Busch Light, and they were like dollar long necks. I mean, it was like awesome. I hit happy hour. I hit an absolute home run. They bring out this pizza, sausage and mushroom. It was awesome, right out of the oven. And the whole thing was like, you know, very easy and fun with a couple of buddies and just enjoying time while I was calling college baseball in Evansville last month. So, or when was that? That was late May. Boy, time flies. But it was a blast. Absolutely love it. Evansville is a great sports town. They get it around there. Really good sports town. And, of course, they love the Cardinals. And it's very close to here. Takes you under 3 hours to get to the Ville. And they love to come to Busch Stadium. We love having them. So, Jeff, I'm going to send you something. I don't know what it is yet, but we're going to send something to put on the wall at Leroy's that is KMOX. So I haven't figured that out yet, but something's going up so we can put our flag in the ground there. That's a great sports bar, and we appreciate your listenership. No doubt about it. Back to soccer for a moment. So this is, I think, a really neat thing here. The fact that we have a relationship with Ty Keogh and Bill McDermott. I mean, two of the great soccer minds, and there are so many in this city, but I've always loved listening to two of them in their broadcast duties. And for Ty Keogh, we had a chance, Jen Cease did, of our staff, to sit down with Ty and visit with him about all things soccer. Take a listen.
Joined now by St. Louis's own Ty Keogh, former pro soccer player, now broadcaster. As always, Ty, so many things going on in the world of soccer.
Jen, it's been a busy summer, but it's been a lot of fun. I mean, there's been some tremendous matches and intense competitions between Copa America, the Euros, and Major League Soccer going right through that, and our city team making some big changes.
John Hackworth at the helm. You've been in the business long enough, probably been through coaching changes yourself. What does that feel like from a team, from a coach perspective?
Well, for sure. I played during three coaching changes professionally that I can recall off the top of my head that occurred during the season. That's an important qualifier. But in each case, we won with the first game with the new coach. It's human nature. You want to prove yourself to the new guy. You want to prove that you belong in the starting team. You want to prove that you deserve minutes. And it just gives a little extra edge to the team. And you could see that somewhat on Wednesday night in that win against San Jose. I think it's a team we would have beat regardless of any coaching change, to tell you the truth. They're having a really tough season in San Jose, and our guys came out despite, I mean, missing through injury 6, 7, 8 guys, and Hebert is gone with the Canadian national team in the Copa America, so it is a real challenge to put out a really strong competitive lineup with that many guys missing.
Well, speaking of Copa America, the U.S. men's national team have exited that competition. The Summer Olympics around the corner. The U.S. women's national team have made some notable changes to the roster.
Well, when you get into Olympic competition, you know, it's a world looking at it, basically. And soccer's a big sport worldwide, whether it be men or women. And there's higher expectations for the U.S. women. We've come to expect them to win medals and gold medals. For the U.S. men's Olympic team, it's been a tougher challenge. Sometimes they haven't even qualified for the Olympic competition. But this is a good stepping stone, I think, for the U.S. men, in that you get into the Olympics, you get a sense for the international game and the amount of attention that the international competition like the Olympics brings to the sport and to how well the U.S. soccer team can compete, the men's team, because what you hope for is these younger players, it's mostly an under 23 competition at the Olympics for the men. You want to see these guys use that experience to build a sort of base in that they could then, some of those players start to contribute to the full men's national team. So I'd like to see the U.S. men get out of their group, get into the knockout stages and compete for a medal, because it gets tough once you get out of your group, if you're able to.
And closer to home, the Bronze Boot will be on September 8th. The women's match at 3:30. The men's match starts at 6:30. Second ever Bronze Boot at City Park. Historic rivalry with SIUE and the SLU men's soccer team. What do you think about that coming up again, Ty? Impressions on last year, and how exciting is that for college players to get to play at that venue again?
It's super exciting in that there's so much history to this rivalry. And if you want to call it a classical or a derby, you can too, because Herman Stadium for St. Louis University and Ralph Cordy Stadium for SIU Edwardsville, they're like 20 miles apart. And back in the day when this rivalry first started, the Bronze Boot, which would be played sometimes at Busch Stadium on the artificial surface back in the day, in those days, the rosters of both teams were almost entirely St. Louis players. So you're talking about a really intense competition in terms of bragging rights for local college soccer. It's something I enjoy because I know the history of it. I played in 4 Bronze Boot matches. matches. And to get to play in a venue that's a professional soccer venue just adds something to the whole atmosphere. And last year, the SIU Edwardsville Cougars beat St. Louis University. On the men's side, there's a little revenge factor, I think, for the Billikens.
I know there's already a history of that, but having the first event at City Park, whether you are on the victor side or on the loser side, there's a little bit of retribution or making sure you stamp your win on that again on the men's side. And then the women's side, of course, SIUE's Derek Burton, I'm sure, is looking to see if he can defeat Katie Shields.
That's a challenge for them because the St. Louis University women's team is really an elite squad. That would be a tough one for the Cougars. In terms of the men's game, the four times I played in the Bronze Boot, we won two and we lost two. It was that tight in terms of the competition. Both programs have won national NCAA Division I championships on the men's side. So St. Louis University has won 15 of those. And then the SIU Edwardsville Cougars have also won Division II and Division I NCAA championships. So these are storied programs. They come on the field with a lot of pride. I have an especially good memory. The last one that I played in, which was in 1978, I scored the only goal of the match. That one sticks in my mind.
The stadiums at the colleges are really nice, but of course, playing in the professional park that is City Park in front of potentially more fans would be not lost on the players. I think all the coaches last year, when we talked to them after the games, talked a little bit about kind of the awe that their players had being able to use the facilities, those locker rooms, and of course, on the pitch in that stadium.
It's a world-class facility. If you're a college player, you're like, this is really someplace you want to step on the field and showcase your talents and see your family up in the stands. Back in the day, in the late 70s, early 80s, the Bronze Boot at Busch Stadium drew over 20,000 a couple of times. So there's a history of big turnouts for this rivalry, and I'm pretty excited about it. September 8th.
I'm excited about August 23rd and September 8th, but August 23rd is when my alma mater comes in to play St. Louis University, my broadcast partner. I will be torn only because I bleed crimson and cream in Indiana. That's who it's going to be. Indiana's playing SLU at Herman Stadium on August 23rd. That's going to be a heck of a day. No, I will not be dressed in an IU pullover. I will be a neutral observer, just happy to see those two programs go head-to-head. Nobody's won more national titles than SLU. SLU has 10 national championships. That is the most in Division I soccer history. However, they have not won one since 1973. Indiana's won 8. My daughter, Audrey, was wearing a St. Louis University t-shirt all throughout Italy. And when we were watching Italy play Switzerland in the round of 16, she was wearing the SLU shirt. And I said, you know, you are educating these fine people over here because you have the historically the greatest champion in college soccer history. And she had a big smile about that. So, yeah, SLU soccer made it to Italy, and we let people know around there, all those soccer fans, how good SLU is. SLU in Indiana, August 23rd, is going to be awesome. I will be there, and I'm actually interested in the St. Louis's place. You know, Ty just talked about it, but St. Louis's place in soccer history goes well beyond the 1950 World Cup team that defeated England. There's more to it, and the college experience here, St. Louis University and SIUE, is a big part of that. But SLU winning 10 national championships and having multiple Herman Trophy winners, the highest honor in college soccer, the fact that the Herman Trophy is based here in St. Louis, that it is awarded here in St. Louis every year at the Missouri Athletic Club, is a big deal. We are a big part of soccer in this country. We are the hub in many ways of college soccer in this country because we have the biggest trophy, because we have the university that's won the most national championships. And I do think that we can and should celebrate that more, and we will. So am I telling you that the Herman Trophy will be on display at the IU SLU game on August 23rd? I'm telling you that that is possible. And also that I think it's time to ramp up the celebration of that history at St. Louis University. They do a great job of it. I'm talking about us as media, as soccer fans, as St. Louisans. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back after CBS News and the local report, We are going to get you updated on everything sports. We will rip through a sports cast like you wouldn't believe. Then we are going to go straight to Lutz Fan and Steel of St. Louis City SC. The sporting director will tell us why they dismissed Bradley Carnell and what he sees in the team now. And at 11:25, do not miss, I know you don't, our visit with John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations. He will be with us live as well. Before we take you to Cardinal Baseball at 11:40 on the home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Distribution or making sure you stamp your win on that again on the men's side. And then the women's side, of course, SIUE's Derek Burton, I'm sure, is looking to see if he can defeat Katie Shields.
That's a challenge for them because the St. Louis University women's team is really an elite squad. That would be a tough one for the Cougars. In terms of the men's game, the four times I played in the Bronze Boot, we won two and we lost two. It was that tight in terms of the competition. Both programs have won national NCAA division one championships on the men's side. So St. Louis University has won 15 of those. And then the SIU Edwardsville Cougars have also won Division II and Division I NCAA championships. So these are storied programs. They come on the field with a lot of pride. I have an especially good memory. The last one that I played in, which was in 1978, I scored the only goal of the match. That one sticks in my mind.
The stadiums at the colleges are really nice. But of course, playing in the professional park that is City Park in front of potentially more fans would be not lost on the players. I think all the coaches last year, when we talked to them after the games, talked a little bit about kind of the awe that their players had being able to use the facilities, those locker rooms, and of course, on the pitch in that stadium.
It's a world-class facility. If you're a college player, you're like, this is really someplace you want to step on the field and showcase your talents and see your family up in the stands. Back in the day, in the late 70s, early 80s, the Bronze Boot at Busch Stadium drew over 20,000 a couple of times. So there's a history of big turnouts for this rivalry, and I'm pretty excited about it. September 8th.
I'm excited about August 23rd and September 8th, but August 23rd is when my alma mater comes in to play St. Louis University, my broadcast partner. I will be torn only because I bleed crimson and cream in Indiana. That's who it's going to be. Indiana's playing SLU at Herman Stadium on August 23rd. That's going to be a heck of a day. No, I will not be dressed in an IU pullover. I will be a neutral observer, just happy to see those two programs go head-to-head. Nobody's won more national titles than SLU. SLU has 10 national championships. That is the most in Division I soccer history. However, they have not won one since 1973. Indiana's won 8. My daughter, Audrey, was wearing a St. Louis University t-shirt all throughout Italy. And when we were watching Italy play Switzerland in the round of 16, she was wearing the SLU shirt. And I said, you know, you are educating these fine people over here because you have the historically the greatest champion in college soccer history. And she had a big smile about that. So, yeah, SLU soccer made it to Italy, and we let people know around there, all those soccer fans, how good SLU is. SLU in Indiana on August 23rd is going to be awesome. I will be there, and I'm actually interested in the St. Louis's place. You know, Ty just talked about it, but St. Louis's place in soccer history goes well beyond the 1950 World Cup team that defeated England. There's more to it, and the college experience here, St. Louis University and SIUE, is a big part of that. But SLU winning 10 national championships and having multiple Herman Trophy winners, the highest honor in college soccer, the fact that the Herman Trophy is based here in St. Louis, that it is awarded here in St. Louis every year at the Missouri Athletic Club, is a big deal. We are a big part of soccer in this country. We are the hub in many ways of college soccer in this country because we have the biggest trophy, because we have the university that's won the most national championships. And I do think that we can and should celebrate that more, and we will. So am I telling you that the Herman Trophy will be on display at the IU SLU game on August 23rd? I'm telling you that that is possible. And also that I think it's time to ramp up the celebration of that history at St. Louis University. They do a great job of it. I'm talking about us as media, as soccer fans, as St. Louisans. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back after CBS News and the local report, we are going to get you updated on everything sports. We will rip through a sports cast like you wouldn't believe. Then we are going to go straight to Lutz Fan and Steel of St. Louis City SC. The sporting director will tell us why they dismissed Bradley Carnell and what he sees in the team now. And at 11:25, do not miss, I know you don't, our visit with John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations. He will be with us live as well before we take you to Cardinal Baseball at 11:40 on the home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.